Hello, West Liberty. This is Hope Oman, and you're listening to WGLZ 91.5 FM. We are college radio, and we are passionately vocal. Welcome back to our four-part Passionately Vocal interview series, where we highlight the people who make West Liberty such a special community. Today, we are kicking off a new segment in the series called Faculty Focus, where we zoom in on the faculty and staff who help shape student life on the Hill. For part one of the Faculty Focus, I'm excited to be joined by someone who plays a huge role in the student-athlete experience here at West Liberty, our Athletic Director, Brad Forshee. Brad, thanks so much for being here.
Well, thanks for having me, Hope, on this chilly Monday morning.
So let's start simple. For anyone that doesn't know what an athletic director does, can you give the listeners a little insight on that?
Depends on what day of the week. you never know what comes across your desk on any given day. But for me, you know, it's basically give our coaches and our student athletes the resources they need to be successful and kind of stay out of their way. You know, I'm not one to really play in the weeds or anything like that. So, you know, just be supportive, making sure all the budgets and things like that are intact. But, you know, hire good people, recruit great student athletes like yourself and go from there.
So everyone starts somewhere. Where did you originally begin starting your AD career?
Going to date myself a little bit so everybody's going to know how old I am, I guess, but I started my coaching career back at Williamstown High School.
Yeah.
It would have been the fall of 2003. That's where I went to high school, so I went back to my alma mater for 2 years and then got a phone call that they needed a part-time defensive line coach up here at West Liberty, and I reported on April 7th, 2005 to be the defensive line coach here at West Liberty, making about $8,500 a year. We could tell a long story about my career here, but that's how it got started.
So where is Williamstown?
It's down near Parkersburg, West Virginia. It's about 10 minutes from Parkersburg. It's right across the river from Marietta, Ohio.
Okay, so what made you not want to be coach anymore and like move to athletic director?
Go back to when my son was born. So 2017, he was born, and, you know, the life of any college coach is a little hectic. So he was born on April 24th of 2017, and thank goodness we had FaceTime and things like that, because when the football season started that fall, I never got to see my son the entire month of August. So we FaceTimed and things like that. But kind of started thinking, you know, refocus my life a little bit. You know, family's important. So I decided to hang up the whistle. And then I actually was an admissions counselor here on campus for about 3 months. And then I got recruited back to the athletic side of things later that summer. Coach Lynn Ollum, who was the athletic director at the time, I needed to fill the empty compliance coordinator position. So he was over in Shaw Hall a good bit, wanting to know if I would come back to athletics. And August 1st of 2018 was my back into athletics as a compliance coordinator here.
Okay. So was like that was like you immediately just knew that was what you wanted to do when he asked you to do that? Or were you a little bit skeptical about it at first?
I mean, you know, it's nothing against compliance coordinators out there, but it's hard to set goals for yourself in that role. I mean, you don't want to say, like, you know what, I'm going to find a NCAA violation today. But I did miss athletics. You know, athletics has been a part of my life since I was a kid. So it was appealing to get back into that, but it was just, you know, when you're coaching football or any sport, you know compliance and all the rules and things like that, but you don't necessarily know the ins and outs of what the day would be. So I had a lot of questions for him, and it was a lot of hard thinking, but it was my foot back into the door of athletics, and it still allowed me to see my son and things like that. So back and forth with him a good bit on what the ins and outs would be, and you know, that was a while ago. You know, it seems like yesterday I went into that role, but it was different, you know, but it was back in athletics.
Do you think, like, the smaller community builds, like, a better, like, family bonding type culture, I guess?
Well, you know, as we often use the hashtag up here on the Hilltop, that Hilltop is home, and that's exactly what it is.
Yeah.
You know, I've said that a good bit, and, you know, but I've been here, this is year 21 for me as a Hilltopper. Have had opportunities to go other places, of course, you know, but, you know, there's one thing that stays consistent here, and that's the people here at West Lib. And you look at those things, and the grass isn't always greener on the other side, and it's that family atmosphere that West Liberty as a whole offers, not just the athletic department, but it's a campus-wide, and that's, you know, if you wake up in the morning and you're happy to go to work, that's a good place to be, and that's been for me for 21 years now.
Yeah, so when you think about the students themselves, what ways would you try to support them academic, mentally, all that way?
Well, you know, when you're working at a university as your career, you know, you got to remember why you're here, and that's our students. You look across the board at any position here on campus, and you know that should be our focus is our students. And when I was fortunate enough to be named interim athletic director in the fall of 23, you know, that's something I wanted to make sure that we were working on. And, you know, doing things for our student athletes, plus our campus in general. Something on my watch is talking to me there. our students in general. So we just got back from Indianapolis last week. There was an NCAA Impact Forum, and that was our topic when we went out there. We actually have a project to do here on campus that we're starting, and that's our student athletes wanted to try to bridge the gap between our general student population, and we got a project for that we're going to unveil here very soon. But just making sure that not only our student athletes here are excited and are happy, but our general students as well. So there'll be more on that to come here in the next few weeks.
Do you think that student athletes today face different challenges than they did, you know, 4 or 5 years ago?
Oh, 100%. You know, the era, the transfer portal, NIL, those things, academic requirements, the stresses of everyday life. You know, I've said it before that Division II is still a place where college athletics is still genuine. You know, you look at the Division I level, especially the Power Four, there's a lot of student athletes, at least in my opinion, chasing the wrong things, and that's money.
Money,
yeah,
for sure.
Yeah, I mean, they're jumping from school to school year in, year out, and they're chasing those huge NIL deals, which is fine. I mean, you know, if opportunity's there. But at our level, you know, I've said this at our Hall of Fame banquet a few weeks ago, that at the Division II level, we're still chasing, you know, degrees and championships. We're not chasing those dollar figures. And, you know, and the dynamic's a lot different. You know, you look back even COVID. The impact of COVID had on college athletics and the stresses and anxieties of our student athletes and students here. But it's definitely a different dynamic, and that's why we got to make sure administratively that we're keeping an eye on that and keeping up with the Joneses, as they say. So that's why it's important to make sure that student athlete experience is important.
You said NIL. Do you think that it has a decent effect, like good effect on our students here at Westlib, or do you think it's not that as big as it is like in Division I level?
Well, it's definitely not as big as it is at the Division I level. You know, we don't get the marketing that those student athletes do, but it does play an impact here. And what it allows our student athletes to do, like just a few years ago, like if a student athlete wanted to do a camp or a clinic, they couldn't have done that because, you know, they're using the fact that they're a college student athlete to make money. So now they're able to do that. You know, they can go out and have a camp over the summer or something like that, and you know they can charge for that. And you know, there's some marketing deals that some of our student athletes have done, but they're not making the millions of dollars, the hundreds of thousands of dollars like they are at the major Division I level.
Yeah. So how strong like the community is that support our games? What do you think makes West Liberty fans so loyal?
I mean, you know, we've been successful here for a long, long time. Yeah. Not only, you know, not one specific sport, but several sports. And, you know, the fact that we're a small school and, you know, we're a tight-knit group here, you know, that support's been there for a long, long time. And, you know, going back to my original answer a minute ago, you know, the people here at West Liberty is what's kept me here so long, and that includes our fan base. Topper Nation's always coming out strong, and, you know, they always support our student-athletes. Sometimes I wish they were a little louder, but that's okay, too, but they're out there supporting us pretty well.
Yeah, so I want to talk about a little about the future and, like, upgrades projects that we have in the athletic department. I know you just brought up one thing. What was that? I forget what you said. Something that was going to be upcoming.
Oh, the Impact Forum.
Yeah. Can you explain, like, elaborate on that a little bit?
Yeah, it's a campus-wide initiative. You know, the NCAA had us out to Indy. We were one of 26 schools, Division II-wise, to attend. But you had to go out there with a project, and it was focused on, you know, belonging and well-being was kind of the theme.
Yeah.
So it was kind of vague on what we could choose. So we met with a couple of our student athletes that were involved in SAC, which is the Student Athletic Advisory Council, and kind of asked them, you know, what I might see as a good project, they may not. You know, as an administrator here, as a, you know, a lot older than our students here, but, you know, what were they seeing the same things we were? So what they brought up was, you know, Mason Billy, a member of our baseball team, he's the president of our SAC. I asked him, and he said, when he goes to class, athletes hang out with athletes. Regular students hang out with regular students. And he said he would like to see that difference. So I immediately kind of spun it on him. I said, well, you know, what do you do to fix that? He's like, I guess I don't do anything. So that's kind of where we're headed with this. We're going to do a kind of give a little hint to it, like a leadership program, kind of like we have here on campus. It's called Aspire U. We're going to call it the Paw Prints, you know, take a spin on the bear thing there. But it's going to be a leadership program where our student athletes are involved, Greek life leaders involved, student leaders involved, and do like a leadership program, you know, and it's right in the beginning phases. We have it planned out. We got to finalize all the plans, and then they'll be assigned a project to try to break down the silos of why our general student athletes don't hang out. And I use that term loosely with our student athletes and vice versa.
So I know you got a lot going on, and there's a lot that goes into your like daily routine. But like, how do you prioritize what do you put first?
I could not survive without my calendar on my cell phone. I literally had an alert to come over here and meet with you this morning at 9 o'clock.
Yeah.
But it goes back to how I open it up. You know, it depends on what the day involves. So like Monday for me is a heavy, heavy meeting day. We have President's Cabinet today and a meeting thereafter. So it's just being well organized, you know, making sure, you know, you're not letting something slip by. I often leave a lot of unread emails in my inbox, and that's to remind me that they're there.
Yeah, you are tough to reach out to. Not tough. I feel like you answered me pretty quickly, but yeah, I knew you were going to be, it was going to be hard to reach out to you. That's why I reached out to Coach Cooper and I said, hey, I need him to be in this interview with me. So I want to talk about hiring. Do you do the hiring for like coaches and stuff?
For head coaches, I'm heavily involved. I'm usually the chair of the hiring committees for that. If it's an assistant coach, I kind of let our head coaches do that. You know, that's should be their hire. If it's a staff member, like we currently have our athletic specialist, operations specialist position open. So Rex Lancaster would be the supervisor on that. So he's the chair of that, but I always follow up. So involved when need be, but at least try to be informed on the other ones just so I know what's going on.
Yeah. So how do you support your coaches and, you know, like how they develop their programs?
Well, you know, like I said, we hire good people here, and I try to stay out of their way as much as possible. I don't think anybody would want an athletic director entirely playing in the weeds. You know, we have meetings, you know, several times a year just to stay, you know, in touch. Mm-hmm. But, you know, we have good coaches here. And, you know, my job is to make sure that they know they're supported and let them do their jobs.
Yeah. What qualities would you say you look for in a coach?
Well, when, you know, for interviewing for new coaches, you know, head coaches, wins and losses, yeah, they're important. You know, and things like that, but it's the other things. And to me, making sure they're the right fit, you know, here on the Hilltop. Just because you might be a phenomenal coach, you might not be the right fit. So, you know, going through the interview processes and things like that, we are evaluating character, integrity, and things of that nature. But, you know, making sure that they're going to fit who we are up here on the Hilltop, that's important.
So a lot of students and athletes, and I know there's a couple girls on the basketball team that would even, like, love a career in sports after college. So what advice would you give someone that works in athletics or coaching or athletic administration today?
Well, the thing about athletics is you don't have to be an athlete to work in athletics.
Yeah.
And I think that's what a lot of people don't realize. And we try to make sure that people know that. So if you look at our administration staff, you know, we got game operations, sports information. I mean, you know, you name it. You don't necessarily have to be an athlete to work those positions. Yeah. Just basically have to be a fan of athletics. And, you know, athletics has a way of bringing people together. And that's, you know, one of the reasons why I've stayed in athletics for so long. Our topper station crew, Mason, you know, he's one of our lead people there and was never an athlete. And we actually had a conversation a few weeks ago that he said when he took the job with Teresa Gretchen with Topper Station, he had no idea what any athletics were, you know, soccer, any of the sports, things like that. And then, you know, he's been doing that for a couple of years now. And then we were having a conversation the other day, it was a few weeks ago when soccer was still going on. You know, he was able to critique the game a little bit. He's like, hey, why did the referee not make that call there? So, you know, you don't have to be an athlete to be involved, you know. When you're looking at coaching sports, things like that, sure, you probably need to be an athlete. But athletics opens the doors for a lot of opportunity. And if you're just a fan of sports, you know, if you're a student on this campus and you want to be involved in athletics, come talk to Rex or I. I'm sure we can find something for you to do.
Yeah, that's true. Because my mom, she is football fanatic. And she, obviously, she's never played football in her life, but she knows everything there is to ever know about football. And she yells at people and argues with them about it. I can't with her.
It's kind of funny. My mom was the exact opposite. I was involved with football, you know, since when I was a kid. And my mom never really got the grasp of what all the ins and outs were. I actually bought her for Christmas one year a Football for Dummies book as a gag gift, and she actually ended up using that a good bit. So
is there a lesson that you learned earlier in your career that you wish you, like, someone had told you sooner?
The best advice that I ever received, and I don't think this pertains to just athletics or being an athletic director or anything like that, but I was offered the defensive line position here in 2005, And, you know, like I said, I made $8,500 a year, no health insurance, no retirement. So the job I was currently working prior to that was a pretty good job. So the advice that always rings in my ear is willing to do the things that most people wouldn't. So, like, when I first came to West Lib, I was driving the volleyball team to some games. I was taking a track team to some track meets and things like that. But, you know, just willing to answer the bell when it's rung. So that was a bit of advice that I always remembered. But the bit of advice that stuck with me for a long time, and I repeat it every chance I get because I felt like it was that important.
Yeah.
It was my sophomore year. I was in an English class in high school. And my English teacher at the time, Miss Cynthia Goldsworthy, was kind of giving a lecture to the class, and she was talking about her father. And she mentioned how he was a barber. So every day after school, she would walk to his barber shop. And she said she was always amazed by whoever sat down in his chair to get their hair cut, he could have a conversation with them. You know, it could be a doctor, could be a lawyer, could be a, you know, whatever career, whatever style of person's character this was, whatever their personality was,
yeah.
He was able to communicate and have a conversation with them. And when I don't even know why she told us that story that day, but it really got my gears turning in my head. I'm like, you know, that's communication is important. I think
yeah.
We all know that.
Yeah.
So, but being able to, no matter who you're talking to be able to relate to them or at least have a conversation. And that, mm-hmm. As a sophomore in high school, so what is that, 15 years old, 15, 16 years
yeah.
old? And, man, that stuck with me to this day.
Yep, communication's a big thing. That's why that's my major. You got to be able to talk to people. My mom said, if you can talk, you can do anything. That's what my mom said. So thank you so much for coming in here today.
Oh, I really appreciate you having me.
We covered a lot from the path to becoming an athletic director to the culture of West Liberty Athletics to where you hope to take the department in the next few years. I know our student athletes and really all the campus really appreciate what you do.
Well, I appreciate that. And
yeah.
Whoever's listening, you know, keep an eye on our schedules, hilltoppersports.com. We'd love to see you at every event we have.
Yeah. This has been another edition of Faculty Focus, part 3 of our 4-part Passionately Vocal series. I'm Hope Bowman. Thanks for listening. We are College Radio, and we are passionately vocal. Here is Workout by J. Cole on WGLZ 91.5. Straight up, now tell me, do you